Truckin', got my chips cashed in. Keep truckin', like the doodah man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep truckin' on.
What's up?
Not much.
Ryan will be on in 2 minutes.
Cool.
How's the game?
Oh my gosh! I mean, I know you've seen like your nephews at a bunch of games, right?
Right.
Just watch these kids just like stumble, picking balls work. It's super funny.
Like you can't watch it like a normal sport.
No, not at all.
Like you're not. Why is it saying my internet's unstable? I'm coming through the Wi-Fi. I don't know. Am I choppy?
No, you're frozen. Am I back? I dropped out.
I asked if I was choppy. So I think both our internets are fucked.
Yeah.
But I'm connected to Ethernet, and I feel like Ethernet should be the most powerful internet ever.
It seems like it has to be, yeah, because instead of waiting for it to travel around through the air, you're plugged directly in.
Right, right. And I'm thinking of it as WonkaVision. That's how the internet works, is WonkaVision.
With all the stuff flying through there.
Right.
So, yeah, you're saying you can't watch it like a regular sport.
No. Because they're not good. And you could watch it, I guess, for the fun of the fact that they're not good.
Yeah.
And there's a charm to that.
Yes.
But at the same time, like, for me, like, regular baseball, I don't even pay attention to while I'm watching it. I could be at a game.
Right.
But I'll be chatting with someone or something like that.
Right,
so
right.
Going to watch kids is like, like, it's only fun when there's action, and in baseball there's not a lot of action. But you're
right.
Watching soccer, which is like a lot of running, but I don't know.
What? Yeah, no, actually it was like volley tennis, but it's funny to see because we have like a huge, it's like a range of sizes. So there's this one little kid who's just like, she's the weeest one out there. And they all stand there with their hands ready to hit the volleyball like this the whole time.
I thought it was
but
soccer.
They also, No, it's volleyball with the nets all the way in the ground.
And
they let it bounce. And instead of like running up at the ball or like trying to get it or knowing how anything works, they'll stand there. Like there was one kid who was standing there like this, and the ball came and like hit him right in the face. And he was just standing there the whole time. He didn't move his arms or anything. So, I mean, I can enjoy it that way. That to me, sort of fun. But yeah, you're right. You can't just watch it like a sport. So, but it was fun.
That's good.
Dorothy's actually pretty good at serving.
Oh, good.
She's been, so whenever she comes up and serves it, it's just like boom, boom, boom. No one tells us the rules. I guess like a pamphlet would have been nice.
Right.
But I just because, you know, I'm watching a lot of Olympics right now, because
mm-hmm.
That's what I do when the Olympics are on. And you get good at picking up on how rules work.
Right.
You know, because they don't explain every event. You know,
yeah, but you have the commentators there to kind of
help a little bit, yeah,
guide you along. But I mean, if you're a parent of a kid who's in a sport, I feel like yes, there should be some sort
of. Tell me what's going on here,
because you can't go to like Wikipedia and they'll probably tell you the rules of regular volleyball, but not this
right.
what the rules are different. What differs in the net on the ground, letting the ball bounce.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
When is enough to...
For the 4-8 league. I mean,
yeah.
It's... And, you know, the rules are... You're right. I can't look it up online because the rules are probably different in the rec center in
right.
the next town over.
Right.
But the way I... it looks like... you know how, like, in softball where there's a mercy rule, you can't get too far ahead?
Right.
Is there something like that where, like, when you're serving, if you have three successful serves in a row, it's like your time's over. You know, that you had your turn. I guess they don't want just one person just acing the other kids all day.
Right.
But if you have, but it doesn't extend the other way around. It's not like an everyone gets to play sort of rule, because if you have your serve and you biff it, then that's the end of your serve. You don't get three serves. You can earn up to three serves.
Right. Right.
So, hello, Ryan.
Hi. Sorry about that.
No worries.
I have to run a... Yeah, I was thinking that. Do you remember that video game Ralph used to have?
Pop
for
Mail.
The Sega CD? It was like an anime...
RPG.
No. It was very... I wouldn't think it would be a very on-brand choice for Ralph, considering his other choices were Sewer Shark and Sonic CD, but it was a gift, right?
It was a game that I read in a magazine that was very, very good. And I got it, even though it was an anime RPG, but it turned out to be really, really good. But the funny thing is when you die, the death screen is her... like on her knees, crying with big anime eyes, and it says like game over, but the audio would go, "Oh, I biffed it."
No, I don't remember that at all. That's funny. It's funny, first of all, but it's also funny the disconnect between someone crying and expressing themselves by saying that they biffed it.
Yeah,
those don't match. That's funny.
I was stuck in a cycle. All of my NES programming software is Windows based. I do not have a Windows computer, so I have to run Parallels.
Got it.
And when I came to my computer to log on to the Zoom call, and Zoom is very resource intensive, I did not realize I still had a second computer running on my already slow computer, and then zooming in just caused everything to stop, so I apologize for the delay.
So you had to clean everything up, give yourself the bandwidth you needed.
Yeah.
Not literally.
That's good. No, but new computers on the way next week.
And what color?
Chip. I'm very excited. The one that was the cheapest, which was silver. So silver was $100 cheaper than the other two. It was on sale, so I got that, even though I am a space gray guy.
Yeah, no, get silver. You can always paint it for less than $100.
Or get some like crazy decals, or
Wahoo
stickers, or whatever.
Like a hacker from a movie.
Like my computer
pairs well with my Funyuns.
My computer's perfectly fine. I've had it for maybe 5 years, just about then. Runs pretty great, but every once in a while there'd be something where it just bogs down a little bit, and I'm like, oh, I want one of those colored computers.
Because
God, they're so nice.
And
they're
I don't know what color I would get, but I'm like, I kind of want them. I want the power. I want to be able to edit better. I want to do that Star Wars thing I was doing.
And that, like, editing is always in the back, even though I really haven't edited in a long time. Like, just knowing what it's like. I was trying to put together the Star Wars Holiday Special DVD. I don't know, like 10 years ago, with like, and then I put like the Riff Tracks commentary on it. Yeah, it was, I don't know, about 10 years ago, I guess. And it would just, like, I would click something and like walk away for 2 hours and come back and see if it was still working out. It's the most frustrating thing. And this computer is the worst purchase in my, and it's 100% on me. I knew the new ones were coming, but needed something in the short term. I accidentally clicked the wrong processor. And did not realize it until 4 months later. It's like, why is this computer so fucking slow all the time?
Oh,
and
no.
I bought the wrong one. So there was just a screaming deal on a MacBook Air with a new M1 chip. So I got that, and it's coming soon. And hopefully that'll make Parallels run faster and my NES programming run faster and all that.
So you got a laptop.
I did get a laptop because I felt like it would be too much of a sign of defeat if I got another iMac, like to have like a practically brand new one sitting right behind the old one. So, and I feel like, I know this sounds silly, but like so many times over the past, 18 months of being mostly at home, like, oh, I don't want to go upstairs to be on the computer. Like, I don't want to go 40 feet away. I just want to be right here.
I like not having a laptop. It really.
So all you have is the desktop?
Yeah.
The last desktop I had was, more than 21 years ago. I've never stepped up to that level since. And this was like a hand-me-down gateway computer.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, like, if you're sitting and, like, putting shit together where you want a station, you want to be, like, ergonomically sound. But I've been on the other justification is my work laptop is all I had when I was on vacation and found out that I was not going back to work again ever or whatever. And essentially what I've done is I've made a workstation. I have a little riser and I have a Bluetooth keyboard. I don't use the built-in keyboard and I have a mouse. So it's essentially a desktop in terms of ergonomics. So I figured, okay, I could do the same thing with this new one. And then if I need to do like something heavy duty, I can just set it up in a workstation or AirPlay to a bigger screen or whatever.
I got to say, I think wanting to use the laptop so you don't have to go all the way to where your desktop is like the equivalent of seeing if something's streaming so you don't have to go find your DVD.
Like, it seems even worse because it's not like $1,000 hit for that luxury.
Right.
You know what, Ryan? If you should have just got like a Windows laptop. You should have got like a PC instead of a Mac, because that way you can run your software.
I can't do it. I mean, I'm deep into Windows, like customized Windows programs for work and stuff like that, and it gets under my skin like a chigger. Like, it is, there are things that are just baffling. My favorite is there's one window that I use a lot in Word, and there's three ways to get to this window. They're all in different places, and they're all named something differently to get to the same window.
Right.
And then I think the window title only aligns with like one of those like three gateways into it. And it's just like that shit is everywhere, and it just drives me crazy.
Right. I get it.
You get Mac, the iWork suite, it's like, it doesn't matter if you're in Pages or Word or Keynote, like it's all laid out the same. You know how to get through the formatting because it's the same from program to program. I hope this isn't part of the show because this is super duper boring.
No, totally is. Totally is.
Totally is boring.
I mean, but I mean, like last week we talked about headphone technology.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But okay, so like, but seriously, like I want to get a new computer. Like when I had this computer here, replace the one that I got, the MacBook Pro, when we started Darmlars.
So that was a pretty long run.
Yeah, and right now, a friend of mine is borrowing it because his computer took a dump and he needed a Mac. He needed an Apple computer to do his writing. That's what he uses.
And it's still running.
From last year, that's shitty.
It's still running. But then I'm like, okay, I usually let shit just run its course. Like iPhones, I've had like, I think I had a 3, I had a 5, and now I have an 8. Like I don't want to upgrade just to get the new thing.
Right.
And now I'm stuck where I don't want anything past the 8 because of the button. I really like the home button.
You really want the button.
It's hard. That was a hard adjustment. I mean, ultimately I accepted it, but like, I love the button. I love like, because before I had my watch, I would use Apple Pay a lot. Yeah. And having your thumb on the button and just being able to tap is great, but like putting your phone so it's making contact with the NFC and then like leaning forward and like doing like the ski jump leaning over the little pin pad terminal and to make sure that like your Face ID unlocks your phone or authorizes your phone for your Apple Pay purchase. That's not smart design, I don't think. That's not a very Apple-like design.
Right. At least 3 times a day, I'll hear Harmony say, I missed the button. Where's the button?
It's the button's rough, but they've talked about like, oh, maybe they could do like on the lock button on the side, like thumbprint technology. So it's like you don't click it, but you just rest your thumb on it. And that unlocks your phone. So it's essentially the same thing. And they should do that.
But for this, like my computer's totally fine. But
yeah,
I want a better one.
This is for the first time. What you want to do is upgrade rather than wear it all the way to the ground.
Right, right. And this computer's great, and I'm sure I can do the recycle program and get a good deal out of it. But I've never done it before.
So are you like trying? Like are you like struggling to justify it to yourself? Like,
I mean, for me, I think it would just work better as far as what I'm doing. I would have to like do some research just to make sure that it'll have the editing processing that I want to do to complete a stupid project that I've been wanting to do for years.
Don't downplay it. It's a cool project. Yeah. Like it's a cool project. Joy.
Yeah. But then also like I've been using, for the Star Wars show that I'm doing, I've been using, iMovie, and it's just a slog. And I've tried downloading, I've tried downloading Adobe editing software, Final Cut, and it just can't deal with those programs. So,
I know this is not a sponsored podcast and it never has been, but right now Adorama is running a deal where it's $100 off a MacBook Air, which was already generally regarded as an incredible deal for what you got, and almost like virtually indistinguishable from the Pro in a lot of ways, which is, I think, $400 more. So it's an additional $100 off. So get that deal.
So I can get a different color.
That's right.
It's got to be silver, because if you want the other one, if you want space gray, $100 more. That is not discounted.
So click on the link of the show notes for Ryan's deal of the week.
Use the code Darmalars.
At check-in.
But I mean, I love my desktop setup. I love it. Sure. When I got my computer, I also got a new desk, which you cannot see because it's facing the same way it's sitting on it.
I get perspective.
But I want a desktop computer. I love it. I love being at my station and doing my things.
I gotcha. So, I totally 100% understand that.
I'm just gonna. I might actually go look at pricing. Maybe I'll discuss it with someone else before I start doing that. But
yeah.
Orange. I'm thinking orange.
Oh man, I like orange.
I'm a huge fan of orange, and I always get shit for it. But I love
my computer or my desk is it's like a wall leaning desk, so it doesn't take up a lot of space. But it's a nice deep sort of chocolate brown.
Mm-hmm.
So
it would look perfect. It would look perfect in your place.
Yeah,
no, totally. I like it. It's kind of like a powdered orange. It's not like orange. It's like it's saturated.
It's like new orange.
Soft. Yeah.
Light purple.
Yeah. And I would also usually get green, but I don't like the greens. I would probably get orange too.
Yeah. I'd have to go to a Mac store or an Apple store and look at it.
Yeah.
Might want to be careful with orange though. I wore my orange sweatshirt on the group chat on the Wednesday Zoom, and I got roasted pretty heavily for it.
Oh yeah.
But what was the reason?
Just because I was wearing a bright orange sweatshirt. I made myself a target.
I guess literally, right?
Yeah.
There had to be a kicker though, right? It was like orange, we hate orange. Like, was there something else?
Is it after is it before Labor Day? Is that the deal?
That's what it was.
Right. That's right.
you're not allowed to wear traffic cone orange.
Oh, well, it's traffic cone orange?
Oh, I remember. Okay. Yeah, you totally deserved it. It was very intense.
There we go.
When you said traffic cone, it was like, and it looked industrial. It looked like PPE, like that he had to wear for the Zoom call.
The Zoom call can be, you know, public service.
Yeah, yeah, they wanted to let me know. What are you guys up to? What you been doing?
Programming for the NES.
Yeah.
Which is the stupidest thing I've ever done.
I had the whole week off. I took a vacation.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was supposed to go to Lake Tahoe, but that fell through. So we just did our best to like try to make fun here. So we went to Aquarium of the Pacific, and we went to the California Science Center. Just did stuff around the house. And now it's Olympic season, so that's all I want to do is just half of what I want to do is watch the Olympics, and the other half I want to do is scan my guide and decide what to record.
Even if
I'll never get to it.
I got tickets to a show at the end of August It's Kurt Braunholer is shooting a comedy special that's being directed by Jonah Ray.
Oh, that's awesome.
And cool. It's in Denver. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'm like, we should just go on a road trip to Denver.
Yeah.
And then I realize it's like 15 hours and the show is on Sunday. And I'm like, the trip back would be a pain in the ass. Let me check Southwest.
Okay.
And I found 2 round trip tickets to Denver that were completely covered by the vouchers I got for the bullshit I dealt with flying to Raleigh.
Hey, oh,
that's right.
So like, I'm like, oh, Stevie likes Kurt Braunholer. She listens to his podcast Bananas. I like him because me, him and Jonah, along with Cinematic Void, presented a night, including, North Shore at the, what is that place? Egyptian Theater. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I like those guys. Let's see if it can be done. Because the tickets to the show were $10. I'm like, I can afford 2 tickets for $10.
Yeah, for sure.
And I can drive there, but I'm like, oh, that's going to cost a lot in gas. And then we'd have to get a room somewhere halfway between there and halfway back. And it worked out. So I that's going to be fun. I've never been to a comedy show taping before. Like a comedy.
It's pretty awesome.
Is it going to be at Red Rocks?
No, it's in it's no. I wish
not a comedy venue, I guess. Well, here you know, here's hoping you get a lot of bullshit travel delays, and so you get another free trip out of it.
Right. Luckily, there's no changeovers, and our flights leave at like first thing in the morning both ways. Uh-huh. So I found that that's the best.
To things avoid are less complication.
Yeah, there's going to be less complications at like 6:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
Can you do me a favor while you're there? Can you please visit the Mark and Mindy house for me and have your picture taken in front of
it? Is it in Denver?
I would like, yeah, like near, or maybe it's Boulder, shit. Well, Colorado. But it's like wherever just, it is, it's state. Like, it's a few blocks up and over from like the main downtown area.
Okay.
Where like the music store and the pizza store where they would go, like, you know.
I'll do my best. And, I'll do my best. Since we're going to be there 2 nights, we decided not to rent a car. It would just be cheaper to Lyft. So we'll see.
Well,
Ben and I are also going to an out-of-state comedy show, too. Did you know this was going to be a theme?
No.
No, yeah, I know. It's funny.
We are going to see the next week, after you see you go to Colorado, we are going to see Mr. John Mulaney perform at the – yeah.
You doing okay?
I hope so. This is like his big tour, and he's doing new material about what he's gone through over the past, you know, 8 months or whatever. And I love John Mulaney so much. Yeah,
that should be good.
So, and we're seeing it in a massive venue, and we're sitting in the very, very back, which is the best way to see comedy. And I'm really looking forward to it.
It's out of state, you said?
Yeah, it's in Vegas.
Oh, okay.
And I have not been to Vegas in 20 years.
Wow. Probably me, too.
At least.
We went, the last time I went to Vegas, I think it was because Ben and Seth were going to a Star Trek convention. And we decided to just go to Vegas because that's where it was.
Yeah.
And that's the night where we went to the Paris? Which, at 4 in the morning... The Paris.
I don't know the story, but I know it was at the Paris.
Yeah, because me and Kelly goose-stepped into Paris at 4 in the morning and then proceeded to eat their steak dinner, which was like $4?
Right. I think that was the last time I went to Vegas as well. We went to the convention, and I think I did like the Star Trek experience.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Just so everyone knows, the street was empty when we did that. There's nobody
around.
Well,
that makes it better.
It was fun.
Oh, crap.
Hey, it's a little nod to history. Look at what France has accomplished here in the United States.
They've made their own. They've made their own Paris right in the middle of Las Vegas. Like, that's an accomplishment.
Hats off to Paris.
24
Braise
minutes.
Off to Paris.
Timestamp of this 24 minutes. If I have to do an edit, if Ryan sends me a text later, that says edit that out. Hey,
every once in a while that actually happens where I'll say
recording
like,
in progress.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah. No, but it's true at this point on so that we,
but
we don't
you know
have to
what?
Do it.
You know what I hate?
What?
Mondays.
Almost as much as Nazis.
What's that?
The Netflix logo. I hate it.
The Netflix logo
the
you have a problem with?
Yeah.
It's
the
an N.
The animated logo when it goes doom doom and all the little bright lights lines shining your face.
All the rainbow?
The
oh, I love
I
that.
I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
It hurts my eyes.
Oh. Do you need like one of those like face shield like glasses that people use after eye surgery?
I need like one of those warnings that they say bright lights and flashy thingies. It really messes with my head. I don't know what it is.
I don't discount that at all. I like it because it reminds me of, remember like the CBS special where like the word special would rotate and all the lines would
show
up behind it.
Yeah,
it feels like very, it feels very retro. I enjoy it very much.
Yes, I like that part, but it's a little aggressive and maybe a bit too much. It's really busy. Drives me nuts.
I like that each of the stream services has like a little stamp like that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's branding.
Yeah, exactly. Good for them. I guess I'm a fan of branding. What a fucking.
It's cool though. No,
what
like
a bootlick I am.
Like, how fun is it when you go see a, like a movie? It's like a period piece, and like the Universal logo, they use like the old one.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Like it's that. Fun. Like yeah, I like logos.
Like a sit, Ubu sit. Good dog.
Right.
That's very
exactly.
comforting.
That's the
but
thing.
But then there's
Screen Gems.
Yes, I was just going to say, but then there's the other side of the coin, the terrifying ones like Screen Gems and Viacom.
Season
7 or Mike 5, yes.
Season 1 of Brady Bunch Paramount logo.
Yes.
I just like you know, an assault. I guess that's what's so comforting about it, like that I know that this is the point in time when I'm watching Hulu it makes that noise, and when I'm watching Netflix that makes that noise. It's the same as that stuff, it's just for now instead of for the
yeah,
past.
Except I was terrified as a kid of the old Viacom logo. It was like the emergency alert system, like it meant danger.
The weird sound
and, like,
quality to it.
And like it's like the V is rushing towards someone
right at you.
I would spring because we did not have remote controls in the '80s, at least not in our house. I would spring up at the end of an I Love Lucy episode to turn down the volume because I did not like it.
Well, there you go. Speaking of things I don't like,
when people put pretzels and nuts back in the bowl after they've touched them.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah.
You're a scientist that is trying to cure the world of germs. And these you weren't just holding them. They had them on the surface of the table, using them as like
touch them with their hands, put them on the dirty ass table, put them back in the bowl.
Oh, we've now become the sweet tooth portion of our program.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, hello, listeners out there. This is Ben.
I'm Ralph.
The longest pre-credit
the
sequence ever.
Along with producer Ryan. Sorry, what?
The longest pre-credit sequence ever.
You know, we have a cold open.
It's around the same as last week's, where we stopped, where we were talking about finishing the cold open, and then talked for like another 4 minutes before talking about Sweet Tooth. But you
Some
know what?
Nuts, huh?
You know what else is crazy? By the way, I'm just getting my notes out of the way, and this is the last one. How do you get chocolate on the back of your fingers?
How is she eating that chocolate bar? I mean, maybe I'll give her. Maybe because she's in the apocalypse, she doesn't know how to eat a candy bar. But you're right. Her hands were comically messy. Like she was just dipping in like a bear. Oh, well, there you go.
There you go.
Never mind.
She's not a real bear.
Maybe she's trying.
She's
yeah,
a person,
that was,
and her
that
name
was
is Bear.
A lot of. And then she's. And then speaking of microbes, she's like licking her fingers off.
Right.
That was gross.
Come on, guys.
Come on. So we're talking about Sweet Tooth. What'd you do?
What'd you fuck
up? I was going to do something before the show, and I didn't do it. So maybe Ryan, maybe in the background.
Doing? Yeah, and
at the beginning of the episode.
What?
At the beginning of the episode, there's a crate with a QR code on it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, wow.
I wanted to grab that. I mean, I can try to do it while we talk.
No, I'll do it. I'll because I have a TV right above my computer. I'll bring it up.
I'll do it.
It was like in the first like 2 minutes or 3 minutes.
Oh, that's a cool get.
But I wanted to, it's like, I wanted to see what it was and I didn't, I forgot to go back and do that.
Right, I will fire up the Netflix.
Instead, I started playing Animal Crossing.
That happens.
So,
how diligent are you on? Oh, sorry.
What's that?
We're not going to talk about. I was going to go down to Animal Crossing tangent. But
I play daily. Still. Yeah, but what I've done is so every day when you wake up in your island, somewhere spread across the island are four little X's on the ground, and you dig up, and there's fossils.
Yeah.
Yes.
And those are randomly placed anywhere.
Okay.
What I've gone and done is anywhere where there's dirt, I've created a blank pattern. It's clear. And I've covered every surface of my map in this blank pattern, except for four spots.
So you,
every day, all of the four fossils show up in the same place under this tree. And so I've streamlined it, so I only play like 5 minutes.
You go, you get the fossils, you get them assessed, you sell them.
I give them to people who I need photos of, because they go for a large amount. They don't put them up as decorations. They don't use them in any way, but it counts as like a lot of points. So I just give them the fossils over and over, and then I get their picture, and then I send them on their way for the next person.
Oh, I see.
So, but I've streamlined it. So I literally only have to do the four fossils, and then whoever's visiting my island, I accomplish their task, whether it's Gulliver digging up his shit or whatever.
Right. Or red.
Yeah.
Do you do the art stuff?
My museum is completed.
Oh, damn. Wow.
Fully completed. So that's what happens when you play every day for a year and a half.
Right.
Hannah was in charge of her island, which is totally appropriate since it was
a child's game.
Because it's a child's game. And I tried not to intervene too much or anything like that. But now she like goes on me once every couple of months. And it's just like a wasteland. Like all the weeds are just grown everywhere and everything. But I mean, I don't know if I would have the wherewithal to like start my own island or everything like that. But like, you know, it definitely gets you hooked on, you know, the terraforming or whatever. Right. And
yeah, that's fun.
City and shit. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's like coming to an island that's been neglected. It's like picking up your Tamagotchi and it's dead and there's poop all over the screen.
Yeah.
It died and shit itself.
It died and it shit itself.
I biffed it.
I really liked this episode.
Me too.
I liked it while it was happening, and I also liked that it just made me super excited for the next one. Like, it's just the way it ended, and you know, clearly is something. It can only get better, in my opinion.
This is the penultimate episode.
Correct.
And we got no Dr. Singh, no General...
No Dr. Singh, no Abbott.
Beard Abbott. Yeah. So it's weird that we assumed that they'd show up and this would set up the finale.
But no, now it's just going to have to happen in the finale.
Right. So I don't know what's going to happen in the finale, but I feel like I don't know if there's room to complete the story.
It's going to have to be, we talked before about like, is it going to complete an arc?
Right.
And if that arc is at the end, Gus meets Amy and Pigtail, then that's technically an arc, but it may not be as satisfying as we would hope.
Right. This Star Labs, I don't remember what it's called.
Fort Smith, I want to say.
Oh yeah, Fort Smith.
I just saw it and I just forgot it.
Yeah, Fort Smith.
I feel like maybe that's a good place for Abbott to be his headquarters.
It would make sense, yeah. Because first the military seized it, and then Judy mentions at one point that at that point the last man hadn't started yet. It was just the military.
Right. So I could see him using that facility to take Dr. Singh to. So, yep. And it seems like Gus may end up heading there anyway.
Because he wants to find out info about Birdie.
It's somewhere within probably a 2-block radius. I mean, I feel like the way this episode was set up, the bar was near the facility.
Yes.
And she and lived her house. Near the bar. Yeah. So I feel like it's somewhat close.
Yeah, definitely.
So I could see those, like, Gus showing up there and Abbott being there with Singh.
With Singh.
But I don't know about Amy.
Right.
We don't... I mean, the last time we saw her, it appeared that she was going to be in a standoff with the Last Men.
That's right.
So, I don't know if she'll be there. Or maybe she'll come and save the day, or I have no idea. Maybe she'll be a disguise as a Last Man.
Yeah.
But I was kind of glad to see that. I don't know how dead on my predictions were, but Will Forte did take Gus from the facility.
Definitely. And I think you predicted all of that.
Yeah, and that was kind of fun. But it was not... He was not any sort of... He had nothing to do with Abbott.
No.
He had... he barely had anything to do with the lab. I like that he was a janitor.
Right.
We talked about how in the first episode he seemed like a simple man.
Yes.
Like he was not necessarily stupid, but he wasn't like this like crazy smart like scientist type guy. Also, I like that not foreshadows, but this sets up him drawing the books.
Right. Like and the fact that he had Tom Sawyer basically memorized.
Right.
Because his dad read it to him so many times.
Right. Really interesting episode. I liked that it just focused on Gus with flashbacks of Will Forte
and Birdie. Yeah. Yeah. So it was like this episode was Gus's past and present coming together.
Right.
You know, the past scenes took us to exactly where he was. They was even that shot where they went from the bar at night to the abandoned bar in daytime.
Yeah.
As they were, I think that's where they were having that delicious melty candy bar. Would you like a chocolate covered pretzel?
It was so much chocolate. There's no way. And even Gus, who is somewhat primitive when it comes to, you know, sort of candy bars and stuff.
Sure.
Open the wrapper, right. Out of the wrapper. Like, he understands how to eat a chocolate bar. She definitely should. And doesn't. The backs of your fingers, really?
I know. He mentioned something like how many candy bars he had, and it was like 6 or 4.
He said 4.
That's
and he's like,
more...
your 6 is your last. I'll let you have 6.
That's a lot of candy bars, man. I hardly ever let myself buy a candy bar because I know I'm just going to eat it. You know, it's like
I did it the other day. I did that the other day. I was at the gas station grabbing something to drink, and there's a big fat ass whatchamacallit sitting there on the shelf.
Oh goddamn!
Just love calling you by name.
So good. So I bought it and bar. I ate it right away.
There you go. Have you had the Whoosie What's It?
No.
Oh, I've seen
that. I haven't seen it on the shelf. I always see stuff like that. I'm like, ooh, I want that, but don't want to go through the trouble of going online to buy it or finding out that it's internet promotion that has already been sold out.
That's so funny because I've seen it all the time. I've had several.
Out in the world?
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. Basically like a whatchamacallit, but like shuffled. So the flavor is on a different texture. You know what I mean? So instead of having peanut butter crunches, it has chocolate crunches, something like that.
And like a peanut butter coating or something? Like it's
It's like
got it.
It's like whatchamacallit is to Whoosie What's It as an enchilada is to burrito. You know, same ingredients but mixed up a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
So I was able to find the QR code.
Okay.
Yes.
And it does not appear to be recognized as a QR code, so it's probably like the 555 of QR codes.
Ooh.
So, but something interesting, the image, the frame that I paused on, the label is blurry because the box is in motion. So like all the other printed text, but it appears that digitally corrected and very, very crystal clear is the address where the box is being shipped to. Oh. So I don't know what the significance of that is, but it's like the label is blurry except for that, which is, it clearly had to have been done in post because it was, it doesn't match the rest of the
What's the address?
It's, I mean, I think of note is that it's being shipped to Fort Smith in Essex City. Like, so it's confirming the proximity to the house and everything else, but it's of 10413 Jackson Way.
Okay.
In Colorado.
I didn't know if it was going to be like the same mailbox from his dream.
Oh, that did show up. That's in front of Bernie's house.
So it's that is same, a premonition.
It's not the same color. It's not the same mailbox, but it's the same number, 52719.
But I kind of got in this episode that he was having flashbacks to those moments. So as they were doing, so as they were showing the flashback of him in his incubator and him being touched, it also looked like he was having memories of that.
Huh.
So is it just be because he's an animal? He doesn't like, oh, I don't have to wait till 3 to start developing memories. I have memories of all these things much more clearly than the human. Like, that's what I got out of that, is that it seemed to be he was connecting to his memories at the same time that we were experiencing it, just in one montage that they had.
I didn't get that, but that doesn't mean it's not there. I just didn't see it myself.
Well, I had a bunch of batshit theories as I was watching this, and I just blame it on my new allergy medication. So it couldn't be anything. At one point, as I'm watching the beginning, so I see, you know, Will Forte is sitting down by himself sketching a little boy, as all males in their 40s do. Like, that seemed really weird. And I kind of had this like weird, like, oh, maybe he's like Geppetto. Like, oh, I want a real boy, but I can't have a real boy because I just live with a cat and a fish or whatever it is, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I see, like, the next shot is him in the lab and he's watching, like, the eggs being poked,
like,
and stuff like
snooping
that.
Snooping around.
Like, and I was like, oh my God, is he going to IVF an egg because he wants a little boy so bad and create hybrid?
Oh, I was.
And then it was like, and it was, and I was like, oh my God, is that what Birdie is? Because it's a chicken and he's saying, this is mostly allergy medication and not
for
actual
me,
thoughts.
For me, him questioning Birdie about the chickens and what she does, and then him like looking into the lab while he's mopping, led me to believe like it could be a Slugworth situation.
Oh.
Where he was has now infiltrated under the guise as a janitor.
Yeah. I went the other way with it. I kind of when Birdie got that, so they've been hitting it off, they've been chatting, and it's supposedly it was accidental, and then Birdie got that call that the military was already at the base, and all of a sudden here she is with a guy who has keys to everywhere in the base. I suspected for a moment that she'd sort of like run a honey trap on him. Like she was conning him so she could have access that she wanted.
No, that's great. That's a great theory. I like
that. I don't know if that's in it, because it could just be that they were really hitting it off and it was a coincidence. You know, they worked in the same place or whatever, but
She did give him drinks, maybe to lower in his inhibition.
Yeah. I mean, she went to that bar that he's been at all the time. It's a block from her house. He's never seen her there before.
Yeah.
So
I'd say the one piece of verifiable information doesn't necessarily take that down is we do know that she's a Grateful Dead fan because we have a picture of her at Red Rocks.
Right.
Very likely seeing the dead. So it's like, so at the very least that was sincere.
True.
Doesn't mean that was exploited, but I would like to think that that was the foundation of their beautiful relationship. That they had
so, you know, what's presented on screen is that that it's legit and sincere,
which I hope for. That's what I want it to be. I'm afraid of either of those two being undermining and like using the other.
We want them to be positive characters because they're so nice. And she's like she somehow accidentally made Gus, which she said that
all Gus.
Yeah, whoops, made a human. They found the microbes in the ice, and guide them to her, and she's trying to develop it, and she's talking about making vaccines. So I think in a sense, Gus is like a walking vaccine. You know, she was attempting to develop this microbe as something good to provide, to make people more healthy. And what popped out of the chicken egg was a fetus.
I don't know. Must have been out of an egg.
But then what I was saying is how positive she is. She treats him just like a baby. She doesn't treat him like a lab subject.
Right.
So can we pause on that for a second? So that's why I think when she first shows up to her thing. So, okay, now we know that she essentially has a child, you know, whatever, however you want to frame that up, as either a passion project or an emotional connection, a maternal emotional connection. But then she rolls into the bar and like, I feel like I lost somebody. I got transferred. I got transferred away from this living thing that I'm emotionally connected with. Boy,
what
I
a
need
bummer.
A drink. Like, yeah, it seems like it seemed like more like, oh, workplaces, aren't they the worst? And it's like, well, it's probably a little more than that. So maybe that's something to your point, Ben, right, about her being less sincere about
getting
her
the keys. Because they showed him getting ready for work several times over the course of a year or so during the different seasons, and it was always a close up of the keys hitting the seat.
Yeah, on the seat. Yeah. And you know what? I was talking about how sweet she is to the baby, like, oh, hi, it's okay, baby. But then she did just leave him in a closet, zipped
to
up
protect
in a,
him. Her friend moved him. She didn't leave him there. The friend was like, oh shit, the feds are here. I'm gonna wheel. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. She mentioned a disease, HPS. Is that a real thing? Yeah, it is.
What is it?
Hantavirus pulmonary syndrome.
I know there's
so,
CRS.
With Hantavirus.
We can't remember shit. Okay, so I have a theory, and it's not really, it's just a thing. It's not a theory, it's so much as a prediction. I think next week we're going to see Fort Smith, and it's going to be all like tore out like we've seen other buildings, but just covered in purple flowers.
Oh, okay.
I think that this microbe has something to do with nature taking over,
right,
creating hybrids and making the purple flowers.
I think Bear did say that there were rumors that the virus started at Fort Smith.
Right.
She also mentioned that she was adopted.
Was she doing that to make him feel better?
I don't believe so. It seemed sincere. Because she was just like, she was gung-ho about it, you know? I'm adopted and that doesn't matter, is what she's saying.
Yeah.
You've got the parents that you have. And
right.
It's because Gus, I cannot fault Gus for being a little freaked out to find out he was grown in a lab.
But I'm wondering.
I admire him for him figuring it out. If I was that kid, I was like, oh my gosh, it's a picture of me in this brochure. How awesome.
Right.
Anyway, throw it over my shoulder. Like, I would go sincere, like figure out like the root of what was going on.
Yeah, no.
Maybe that's just because I'm a narcissist or something. But
the way he reacts makes it seem like he feels weird or strange about it. Does he understand that that's not natural?
Like, has Papa told him anything about the birds and the bees?
Right.
Like, does he know how he would normally have been born?
Right.
So this is an anomaly. Well, I would have to say probably. I mean, seeing how, because of his reaction. Yeah. But what also is important here, and we've touched on this point before, is it's more evidence for Gus that, you know, Papa wasn't entirely playing things straight with him.
Right.
And that's the one person he's known his whole life. And every time he finds out that he wasn't telling him the truth, it's trauma for him. It's traumatic.
Yeah. And I mean, based on this, though, it only takes place over the course of one night. And so he doesn't know what to say to him or what, like, he doesn't really fully understand the situation. He knows Gus is here.
Right.
This lady created him.
Right.
And so he just says, that's your mom. But doesn't have really any more explanation on like how he came to be.
Yeah, he doesn't have anything more he can share. Yeah, he's just the janitor, man. It kind of reminded me of Half-Baked, the being a janitor in a scientific facility.
I haven't seen it, but...
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. That's funny. But we should, just for the sake of the thing, we should mention that Pubba's name is Richard Fox, and Bernie's name is Gertrude.
Yeah.
That's not important, but...
Gertrude Fox... Interesting.
Oh, they were looking at constellations, and
yes,
Pubba pointed out Orion,
right?
And then Birdie called it Mariga, which is Sanskrit for deer, and it's other cultures refer to the Orion constellation as Mariga, the deer. So
I took that again in my drug-addled brain. The drug being Zyrtec, I just want to be very clear about that, was I thought it was setting her up to be the hunter of Gus. Because it's like, oh, look at this deer over here. That's not a deer, it's a hunter. And I was like, and the way she said it, I was like, oh, is she the hunter? Is she going to hunt the baby that
is that why she Pubba left Judy? With the egg? Did she leave Judy to go look for Gus?
Yes. That's what Judy says. But both Big Man and Bear say they don't trust her. I noticed at one point, this is silly, but Judy is wearing like jewelry. So after the apocalypse, living alone in a house, you wake up, you put on your jewelry, and you go about your day. I guess it makes sense. Some people like what they like, you know?
Right.
But sometimes I think there's sentimental value associated with jewelry, right? It's a gift. It's an anniversary gift. It's a gift your child
right.
gives you.
That's right, too.
No, I mean, so it could be a way of remembering.
Yeah, it's totally justified. It just struck me as odd for like half a second.
Like if she had like a bouffant or something and like long acrylic nails, that would be a little, I think that would be weird.
I guess I'm just sort of thinking like, if it were me, I would just be wearing shorts or sweats, depending on the weather, for the entirety of the rest of the apocalypse. I would just be as comfortable as I could be.
Right.
I wanted to say, when Gus is sad and his ears droop and get sad, it's very effective.
Right. And it's like the whole episode.
He's sad a lot. He's got sad ears. Gus has sad ears. So, genetic unit series 1, Gus.
Right. Is that something in the book?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I feel like that should have been a big revelation, that his name was an anagram.
Right.
But something that was in the book is this, you know, how Pubba was a guy that worked at the facility.
Okay.
And just, you know, ended up with Gus. And whoever said, I think it might have been Ryan, said that he looked like he knew where he was going when he, at the beginning of the show, when he's finding the cabin where he raised Gus. Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely true. Now, watching it this way, it's like he drove there. He went from Colorado directly to that part in Yellowstone. It definitely looked like he knew what he was up to.
Yeah.
Because he did get out and scout and then come back and get his supplies.
He just got that big-ass basket.
That giant bundle.
So big.
So
big. He's got such a big sack.
So do you think Gus and Daryl are friends? Just in, like the acronym kids?
Acronym club? I think they should be. They will be in the fanfic when I write it.
Space Jam 3, they're gonna be in the audience together or something.
No, it's Gus and Daryl versus AI. Taking on Haley Joel Osment. So I think we're still in the same place. What's funny is like we learned a lot. We saw a lot of stuff happen, but we're in terms of real time, like what's happening now, it was about a day. And we're almost in the same place where we were. It's just Gus is still on the same quest, but now he's taking it in a different direction.
Right. He just kind of tore off on his own, which is
running
first.
With the deer. That was cool with the deer running with him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the stamina to, though. He was in over his head.
It is the, that sort of, to me, lends itself to the communication thing of the hybrids and
yes.
the animals.
Yes, oh, for sure. Like, yeah.
Coexisting.
Right.
Yeah, being aware of each other and communicating. I mean, this is kind of, okay. So let's say Gus gets to Fort Smith, which we're kind of, I'm assuming is going to happen in the next one.
Right.
And General Abbott is there. And is General? Yeah.
Yes.
And there'll be a standoff. And General Abbott's just going to be obliterated by deer.
Just trampled.
Especially that one from the lodge on the waterfall. That one that was yeah. like looking at him.
Right. Wow. That one was a big one too.
Yeah. Just
You know what? You know what? We talked about whether or not Pubba had given him the facts of life, and now I got to say maybe no, because I remember he looked at the deer and wondered if it was his dad. Or no, he wondered if it was his mom.
Yeah.
Well, or was... he did get the facts of life, and it's like, oh, did dad fuck this deer? Like,
well, maybe, but you ain't gonna have a kid that way, because I'm pretty sure that was a boy deer.
I think the other thing too is I don't think you need to know the details of the facts of life to understand that being born in a lab is not how it happens. Like, even right. if you don't know
right.
the specifics That's... about Tootie and Blair. that you still know that in a lab is unnatural. The
Pulitzer
check
right.
method. Yeah, exactly.
Penguins ain't natural like that. They was genetically created in a lab. That's the state line.
Oh, I knew it was from something.
I have nothing else to say about this episode, I think.
I don't think End I do line. Either. And that was, it was a really good episode.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
The classic cold open of scientists doing something somewhere.
Yeah.
And you know, that's going to lead to trouble later on.
Yeah. I think one of the things is this episode gives you everything you need to know for the finale, and it doesn't really pose any sort of questions to theorize about.
No.
We can sort of just theorize, you know, motivations of characters, but other than that, I feel like we know where everything is headed. I think Fort Smith is the likely place.
Right.
I don't know if this is the type of show that'll have a battle between Bear's people and the Last Men. I don't know if that's some sort of route it's going to take. I hope it doesn't.
I don't think it will. I think Bear's people are gone.
That's what they want you to think.
That's what they want me to think. Yeah, maybe I'll be surprised by the animal army cavalry.
I mean, is Amy going to save the day? Are deers going to save the day? Is there any day to be saved?
Right. No, here's how it's Bobby. Bobby's going to tunnel under some shit, and Abbott's going to fall through like fucking Yosemite Sam style into like a
right.
funny hole.
Yeah.
And they'll like pop out of his hole with like a carrot and say, ain't I a stinker? And then they'll iris yeah. out onto Bobby.
And then
Pigtail will stick her head back out and say, that's all, folks.
It is a Warner Brothers production.
So it yeah. is.
Oh, it is.
With that deer logo, with the furry.
The deer version, yeah.
Yeah.
The fuzzy WB. Well, next week's it. Next week's the finale. I don't even know what this episode was called, but what's the next episode called?
This episode was called
What's His Name Meets What's His...
It was When Pubba Met Birdie, yeah.
Okay.
And season... episode...
Is Big Man. Big Man is the next episode.
Well, there you go.
And you have to say it exactly like that.
Big man.
Big man over here with his.
We're gonna get his backstory.
No, well, the icon is.
Is he gonna sacrifice
Abbott,
himself?
And he is like full on. He's like got the shades on. He's got like the Gaddafi hat on. He is like full on Abbott.
With like floodlights behind him.
Yeah, it's intense. And again, a combination of Ringo Starr and the Mandarin, as portrayed by Ben Kingsley.
Oh, man. I just finally saw that one. I had missed it. For there was Uh-oh. there was there was two Marvel movies that I realized I had missed.
And what was the best one?
Iron Man 3, you're a big fan.
Huge fan. Huge fan. Until Ragnarok came along to kind of challenge my beliefs, it was far and away my favorite Marvel movie.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it was just, I figured out that there was two that I missed, and we've been going through and watching them in order. So we got to those and watched them, and it was Thor of the Dark World and Iron Man 3. And I realized that's because they were both in the year of our Lord 2013, which is when my kid was born. So I was, that was probably the explanation.
Could be. That makes sense.
But that the way you mentioned Ben Kingsley as
Mandarin.
The Mandarin, and you know, spoiler alert, but that reveal of like who he actually is epic.
It's so good.
And then you remember, oh yes, he is an incredible actor. And
yeah, he was
amazing.
Able to do both.
And he was hilarious.
Right.
He hilarious. It kind of broke my heart a little bit because, you know, I'm not so in touch with the comic book world, but like stumbling upon that ranks very low on some comic book fans' rankings of Marvel movies because it doesn't feel like it's not as connected to the comic books, or it doesn't have the same sort of tone as the other movies in the MCU.
And it made a mockery of Mandarin.
Right.
Well, I mean, again, I'm not deep into comic books, but my understanding of how the character appears in the books, I feel like it was a smart approach to deal with something that if you dealt with it in a very literal way would be very problematic and probably not entertaining at all. So I'm down for that.
I think that's where ultimately what it comes down to is to show Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin this way, which is like an older decision. It's to have a white actor portray a person of color, you know, like
Gandhi,
Ben Kingsley and Gandhi, for example. But then you get out of that problem by having the reveal be that he is play acting. And also just so many Iron Man suits. And just Tony Stark processing trauma, I thought was...
It's great. It is
you're right,
great
a really
and
good
it's
movie.
Funny and...
I need to rewatch it. I've only seen it once. It was in the theater and I remember enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And then I just, for the last several years, heard that it sucks. But
and it's what's his name, the guy
Shane Black,
yes,
yeah, Kiss Oh, wow. Bang Bang and The Nice Guys. Have you seen The Nice Guys?
Is that the one with,
you know, the answer to that,
Will Ferrell and Marky
no,
Mark?
No, that's the other guys. Those are the other guys. It's
Jonah Hill and
no, that's super bad. No, it's
you like Taco Bell.
Well, I get Ryan Gosling and the Russell Crowe.
Yes. Oh, okay. No, I haven't seen this one.
Okay, you like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, correct?
For sure.
You will love Nice Guys because it's Shane Black. It's those two guys, and they are at each other's throats the same as Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, and Batman. In Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
I'm in.
That's a great movie too, but I think that's one of the reasons why I like Iron Man 3 so much. Not because I went into it as like with a Shane Black filter on it, but it's like the same reasons why I like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I love Iron Man 3. Like it
right.
It's so solid. It is a tight, solid movie. And what's his name? Adam Paley as the he works for the television station. He has the remote truck with the satellite.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
He's Iron Man's friend. He's on a special mission. Like, just little shit like that. Like, there's just so many great moments in that movie. I love it.
I'll probably go watch it right now.
Right now.
Yeah. I'm going to go watch it right now. I highly recommend The Nice Guys.
It looks like it's available on Hulu, maybe. I'm checking it out. I watched it.
Oh, I got.
I think I biffed it.
I got Paramount Plus.
Oh, good for you.
How's that working out for you?
It is an awful app on the Apple TV.
It's terrible. Oh,
okay,
my God.
So let's say you want to watch a Nickelodeon show. You have two categories to choose from. Trending.
Country.
Which scrolls to the right forever. Or A through Z.
Wow.
So what was the first one? I'm sorry, I talked over.
Trending.
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 Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
So it's not
Did anybody use it? before they released it?
I don't know, but right. It's not, you'd think you'd have like Nicktoons, classic 90s, game show. Like you could do any number of categories,
man.
But it's literally, you have to know, I want to watch You Can't Do That on Television and go to the search and do the search for it.
Yeah, you can't browse.
There's no discovery.
They've got this. Yeah, they've got this large library, and the browsing is terrible. And also, I got to a point where I was adding stuff to my list, like I like to do, and I pressed on something, and it said, "But my list was full. I couldn't add any more items to it."
What?
Right.
Is that a thing? Like,
why?
Is there really a limit? Like, what? There's not a storage limit.
Who have I offended?
That's ridiculous.
Maybe it's like very parental, like Ben.
Yeah, right. You're
bad at it. You can't add anything else to your list until you start watching these things.
Exactly.
We have Paramount Plus at home. Just good.
It's
six candy bars.
It's nuts. I was like, oh, $4.99 a month. First of all, I'm in the middle of my free trial. So I'm like, oh, cool. And then $4.99 a month is no big deal for, you know, all this cool stuff. And then I opened the app and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is the worst create categories.
Was it worse than, what was it, the DC app? What was that app?
It is worse than the DC app.
Wow.
Yeah. So every time a new streaming service comes along with its app, and it's terrible or it has issues, like when Disney Plus started, it had some issues.
Right.
I think they might have been resolved. But, one problem is if I want to watch The Simpsons, it's way easier if I've just watched it. Than if I want to just start, it's not on my just watched list, you know. But every time a new streaming app comes out, I look at it and I think, isn't this already solved? Like, why do we have to try again and get it bad? Maybe you don't.
I think it's one of those things where it's like where we were talking earlier about branding, where it's like, well, we can't have it set up like Netflix because
then
an easy way to. But it's like saying like the alphabetical order is a branding thing.
Exactly.
You should have categories for genres, categories for what's hot. Because
you
new,
can't
like,
discover anything. I literally have to go through A through Z. But
I hate
it's,
that shit.
Yeah.
Well, I used Paramount Plus to watch like two or three episodes of The Detroiters and piss my pants laughing because that show is freaking hilarious.
It is.
So thank you for the recommendation. I really enjoyed it.
You've been recommending stuff to Ben and not me?
Yes. Every week on the podcast.
With you right there.
I'm glad you like it. If you want more Tim Robinson.
That's where you go. That's where you got
to
go.
One place to go. I can do another recommendation. Stick it in your queue. On the Netflix app, there was a show called – Ryan took out his ear – oh, he put him in. I thought he was taking ear pods for this recommendation.
I was pushing him in so I could really hear your voice, and then I realized that they may have caused it.
There is a show called The Characters, and there's a different comedian. It's essentially like a sketch comedy show showcasing a different comedian, and there is a Tim Robinson episode, which has like three sketches on it, which are perfect for fans of I Think You Should Leave.
I've heard that episode described as like as almost a pilot for I Think You Should Leave.
And I feel like that's what that Netflix character is.
That's probably the purpose of that show, yeah.
Yeah.
For development. That's interesting.
But there's some really good stuff. There's this one where there's Tim Robinson walks in and he's like, it's like this lush Vegas casino and he's a high roller and he's just handing out like money and handing out like, give this guy a free steak dinner and you're the man. And then he finds out he's lost all his money, like he doesn't have any more money, so he goes back through the casino to all the people and tries to get the steak dinner back. it's so fucked up. It's so good.
That's the game.
And it's Tim Robinson, so his eyes have that trying to hold back tears look.
Oh man.
So check that out.
That's going to be me in a couple of weeks when I make a lot of poor decisions in Las Vegas.
Looking forward to it.
Speak for yourself, moron. I'm buying a computer.
Making good decisions.
I'm going to look into it, though. Because if I can get a pretty decent amount for this thing, that'd be cool. That'd be cool.
It would just be nice to be able to do what you want to do without struggling. You know?
I mean, I think you'll dig it. I think it's up your alley. Which is taking Attack of the Clones I've already divided it up into 12 chapters, and I'm creating it as a Saturday morning cereal.
Yeah.
And I did the opening, and it's already my favorite thing that I've done, and I want to do more.
It's so slick. It's so well done.
My old man always... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know how to do this, but if anybody knows how to get a dialogue-only version of Attack of the Clones, let me know.
I think I can help you with that.
Cool. Perfect. I'm glad I asked.
My old man always said
that... You hear that, everybody? I got it taken care of, so lay off. Stay away from Ralph with your ideas. I got
this. Yeah, no help. My old man always said that George Lucas movies were serials. He always said that there was a climax every 20 minutes or so.
Right.
First couple of Star Wars, Indiana Jones. So, unnatural. Sounds like fun.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'm gonna go watch Iron Man 3 though, for real.
Yeah. Yep. Right now.
I'm gonna go watch the Olympics until Olympics ooze out of my brain.
Oh, I'm gonna watch Detroiters.
Hey, all right.
What's that?
Nah, that's not true. I've got errands to run and shit like that.
All right.
Okay. Well, nice chat with you guys.
Yeah. Well,
hang on, Ben.
Next week we'll do the finale of Sweet Tooth.
Woo!
Sounds good. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
All right. Bye,
recording
everybody.
Stopped.
Bye.
Oh, I forgot. See you, lady. The fourth member of this group.
The secret fourth Dharmalar.
Pete Best. All right. Bye.
See you guys.
Don't go, Ben.
Bye.
Bye. Don't go, Ben. Don't go, Ben. Hang on, Ben. Do not hang on.
I'm not. I'm here.